Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
When protesters, angry over the deadly incidents in Virginia this weekend, decided to take down a nearly century-old statue of a Confederate soldier in North Carolina on Monday, law enforcement stood back and watched. At no time did officers with the Durham Police Department or deputies of the Durham County Sheriff's Office intervene. As activists brought a ladder up to the statue, used a rope to pull it down. And of course, all of this is according to multiple reports and also videos that are available of the incident. Friends, as of yesterday, no one has been arrested. But today, Durham County Sheriff Mike Anderson announced investigators were working to identify the protesters and plan to bring criminal charges against them. Let me read this quotation from Mike Andrews, the Durham County Sheriff. He said, quote, "We decided that restraint and public safety would be our priority." Andrews said in a statement posted on his agency's website, this additional comment: "As sheriff, I am not blind to the offensive conduct of some demonstrators, nor will I ignore their criminal conduct." End quote. Well, friends, activists on Monday evening used a rope to pull down the monument outside of Durham Courthouse. And the Durham protest, of course, was in response to a white nationalist rally held in Charlottesville, Virginia, over the weekend. And Andrews said further, "My deputy showed great restraint and respect for the constitutional rights of the group expressing their anger and disgust for recent events in our country. Racism and incivility have no place in our country or in Durham, North Carolina." Well, friends, the Confederate Soldier's Monument in Durham was dedicated in 1924, and it shows a soldier holding a rifle. And after it came down, a diverse crowd of dozens cheered. And if you've seen any of the videos, you know that many of those protesters whose faces were in full view began kicking the crumpled bronze monument. Some took pictures of themselves standing or sitting on the toppled soldier in front of a pedestal inscribed with these words, "In memory of the boys who wore the gray." So it shouldn't be hard to identify these hoodlums, as they have not taken very much care to keep their faces or their identities hidden. And I will say this, friends, I believe these people, once captured, should be punished to the fullest extent of the law. You say, "Dave, you're a little upset." You bet your life I am. And we're going to talk about this on today's Stand in the Gap radio program. And with that, I want to welcome you to the program. I'm Dave Kistler. Sam and Gary are away today, and my co-host is Isaac Crockett, Pastor Isaac Crockett, and it's a delight to have him with me today. Isaac, thank you for being aboard. I appreciate it so very much.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Well, we're going to jump right into the middle of this. Our theme today is toppling a monument, attempting to topple history. Toppling a monument, attempting to topple history. And to help us with this discussion today, I want to welcome our special guest. He has been on the program once before. We got a lot of feedback from the time he was on before, talking about God and guns. And that is Pastor Bob Burgess. He is pastor of New Testament Baptist Church in Ravenna, Ohio. And he has quite a lengthy resume that I'm going to get into in just a second. And that resume makes him highly qualified to discuss this topic. But before I do any of that, Bob, I want to say thank you so much, my friend, for being on the program with us today.
Brother Dave, thank you for having me, Pastor Isaac, as well.
Well, Bob, you are a retired law enforcement officer, 38 years experience total. You have been deputy sheriff, SWAT commander. You have been chief of police. You have been an investigator, consultant, forensic investigator, and a security bailiff in the court system. So you have an extensive resume. And so I thought we could find no one better than you, Brother Bob, now pastor of a church there, a vibrant church in Ravenna, Ohio. So I could think of no one better to have on the program today to discuss this topic. So I want to go here, Brother Bob. As I watched the toppling of that statue in Durham, North Carolina, I was angered. Okay, I'm just going to be honest. I was angered. But when I saw what followed, I was incensed. Here were young hoodlums kicking the fallen monument, sitting on top of it, basically doing all they could to desecrate this monument. And before we get into the police response, or perhaps better, lack of response, I want to know what you have to say about a culture that has degenerated to the point where this kind of display is not only possible, but it is, for the most part, accepted in our culture.
Wow. Brother Dave, Pastor Isaac, I too had an opportunity to view the film or the segments on the news of this. It was rather disturbing to me as well. Times have certainly changed from the days that I worked the streets, wore riot gear, and protect the peace and dignity of the communities that I took an oath to do so. It is very troubling to me. I want to say that all my answers, I hope, will be based and understood on this foundation for our time together today, that I certainly believe that souls are only ranked by saved, sanctified, and held, or lost. And they're not ranked by color, of which the tabernacle that houses them in God's eyes. So I want that to be an understanding, that I believe that this is not a black-white issue. I believe this is an issue of godlessness that we're experiencing in our society today. It's one can almost imagine what it's going to be like as we see the salt of the earth gone, just from what we're seeing by these experiences today. Unfortunately, I believe that the replacement for inherent risk in our society today has been entitlement. And I hate to say this or segregate any one group such as this, but I don't want the facts to get in the way of a good story, but rather I do. The facts are, I believe that most of our youth today, and they're not all guilty, but unfortunately, they have not known the America that we have known. They've grown up in an age, an era, into adulthood. Their fashionable, formidable years have been such that they don't have an understanding of what America is truly established upon.
That is interesting. That's kind of where I was thinking, too, when I read these events happening. I've seen the pictures. There's a story back in Charlottesville, Virginia, where kind of the ground zero of what's been starting up this lately, they're calling it. And I've been to that peaceful college town several times on vacation, and to see the pictures I'm seeing, it's so crazy to see this. But as all these protesters were doing lewd things with their hand gestures and destroying property and chanting violence and the evil stuff that was happening, one of the news stories showed a young man who was dressed maybe in a military uniform or something of that sort, but he had a Confederate flag over his shoulder, and he was standing there peacefully. He wasn't doing the hand gestures or throwing, hurling violent comments at other people. And yet he was seen being escorted away by the police, while the other people doing the dirty work were just watched by the police. And what do you see as this happens? Maybe we'll get into it the next segment, going on, that the free speech that we are taught we have, is it being abused by a new generation?
Great question, Isaac. And Bob, I'm going to ask you to hold your response until after we come through the break. And friends, we're talking about what's going on with respect to Confederate monuments. Is it toppling a monument, or is it an attempt to topple history? That is our topic today. And when we come back from the break, we're going to pose that question that Isaac just posed again to our special guest, and a whole lot more upcoming on Stand in the Gap today.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hey, I'm Brant. Just read this news item about the two things that are stressing Americans out the most. Thought this was interesting. They say we're losing a record amount of sleep because of these two things. Number one, healthcare expenses. And the second thing, saving for retirement. The two biggest stressors. But what's remarkable? You can make a phone call right now and actually take action on both of these at once. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses, and it works beautifully. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 for your retirement every month. One call, two less things to stress about, and that can help you sleep better at night. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler. My co-host today is Isaac Crockett, and our special guest is Pastor Bob Burgess. Again, a man with a 38-year history in law enforcement, deputy sheriff, SWAT commander, chief of police, investigator, consultant, forensic investigator, security bailiff in the court system. So Bob has done it all in the law enforcement community, and now he is the pastor of New Testament Baptist Church in Ravenna, Ohio. He's a man with immense experience. And so, Bob, I want to frame the question before we get into the lack of police response and your assessment of that, both in Durham, North Carolina, as well as in Charlottesville, Virginia, with respect to these tragic events that occurred over the weekend. But before we go there, Isaac posed a very interesting question to you prior to the break, and it has to do with what took place in Charlottesville. There is this video out there now. I've watched it several times. There is a young man dressed in a quasi-military uniform. He's got a Confederate flag on a pole hanging over his shoulder. He is standing peacefully, peacefully, and I keep emphasizing the word peacefully, at the base of what is now ground zero for a lot of these leftist rioters. And I'm talking about a statue of Robert E. Lee. He's mounted on his horse Traveler. This young man is standing at the base of that. People are seen in front of him hurling racial epithets at him, displaying very lewd hand gestures. And the young man is doing or saying nothing. He's just standing there quietly. Law enforcement comes up, according to the reports that I have read, and there are multiple ones. They escort him away, put him in a police car, and remove him from the scene when he's standing there peacefully. Now, I know what some are saying. They're saying, well, you know, he was the source of incitement to riots, and so we had to get him out of the way lest more riots occur or people get more upset. But Bob, you're a law enforcement guy. From a strictly law enforcement perspective and then from a biblical perspective, here's a guy who's not breaking the law. We still have, last time I checked, First Amendment liberty in America. So why would he be taken away? And those that are, you know, saying things, doing things that are lewd, those that have been guilty of destroying property and want to destroy more, why are they left to do their dirty work and this guy's taken away?
Brother Dave, I would like to. I did not have opportunity to see that firsthand. I would like to give the law enforcement community there the benefit of the doubt by saying this: with all of the political correctness and the entitlement going on in the nation and orders to the police to stand down, I would like to give them the benefit of the doubt to say that they had compassion on that man and knew what his demise was going to be at the hands of those bringing violence and removed him for his safety. I cannot say that in fact, but that's what I would like to think of them. I feel terrible for our law enforcement officers that are faced with these things today. But that would be my best thought there. I would like to think that. I don't know that he was arrested.
Okay, so you're thinking maybe he was not arrested but taken away for his own safety and his own protection. And if that is the case, obviously, I understand that. We should all understand that. Let me shift gears, Brother Bob, because I want to go into something that is it came out yesterday. We touched on it briefly on the program, and that is the fact that Charlottesville, Virginia now joins Ferguson, Baltimore, Dallas, several other U.S. cities, as a byword for political violence and racial violence in the 21st century. It's tragic, and as you've probably heard, the Virginia college town of Charlottesville played host to what is being called, of course, an alt-right rally. It descended into violence on Saturday. Both white nationalists and left-wing counter-protesters fought, beat each other with blunt objects for a good portion of the morning, and then everything turned really south when this man drove his car into some of the counter-protesters, killing one, injuring others. And so all of that now is in the forefront of what's going on in the media and, of course, in the eyes of the American people. That is the center of attention, and in many ways rightly so. But, Bob, what I want to ask you is this. Among some of those that have labeled a lot of criticism has been Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe and the Charlottesville Mayor Mike Singer, I think is the way his name is pronounced. McAuliffe issued a strong denunciation of the alt-right and the rally violence on Saturday, telling a white nationalist that there was, quote, no place for you in America. And then Mike Singer, the Charlottesville mayor, sought to place the blame for that rally on President Trump, declaring that the supposed empowerment of racism, quote, goes right to the doorstep of the president and the people around him, end quote. And that is according to, you know, the Charlottesville mayor. What's disturbing, Bob, is this, and I've heard it from numbers of sources, is that law enforcement that were on hand Saturday, decked out in riot gear, looking prepared for the worst, appeared to be told, don't do your job. There are accusations out there coming from some within the law enforcement community that as high as the governor. It came from the governor's office, stand down, don't do your job. Other police on the scene were reported to have been ordered by some of their commanders not to intervene. And then, you know, there are others that said the police themselves, in fact, there was a Fox News guy that said he saw the police leaving the scene whenever the riot got into high gear, and he said, where are you going? And they said, it's dangerous here, we're leaving. Now, let me ask you this, Bob. As a veteran of law enforcement for 38 years, you are near Kent University there in the state of Ohio. I'd love for you to analyze the response of law enforcement. I know you were not there, but as an outsider, knowing how these things work, just give us a little bit of an analysis of what you believe happened, good, bad, ugly, whatever, on Saturday with respect to Charlottesville, Virginia.
Well, if I might, Brother Dave, I'm going to mix two hats together, one as retired law enforcement and the other as a man of God serving as a pastor. And with mixing those two hats together in my experiences, you are correct. I'm approximately 4 miles away from the campus of Kent State University, which May 4th, 1970, was a blemish on our local history here. Things were much different then than they are today. I'm sorry that for all of the law enforcement officers that stand in the place that they do today, I know the hearts of them. They are not one who wants to stand by and defy their oath of office to serve and protect the peace and dignity of their community. They're not one that's even trained to stand down when an act of violence hits their community or an act of vandalism. I do believe that this is, again, a great move of the godlessness in America that ultimately is going to do away with the America that we've known. And if I might elaborate on that for just a moment, in the scriptures, we know that in Romans chapter 13 and verse 4 tells us, for he is a minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. And they have the sword. And he beareth the sword not in vain, for he's the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Unfortunately, politically correctness, politicians, and evil are trying to remove the sword, of which then there is absolutely no inherent risk to these evildoers. So therefore, it becomes a contagion, and it continues to happen and happen and happen because they see it happen with no ramifications.
And I think, Brother Bob, you started to go down this road too, and it is so difficult for law enforcement when sometimes maybe the governor has a different order than the president or different things. It's so complicated. But in your training as a law enforcement, is there ever a time when a stand down order is appropriate? Is there ever a time when you were trained that it was appropriate to stand by and allow, you know, a mob to destroy property and allow, is that justifiable in your point of view?
I mean, in answering, is there ever? There are times, but we're talking about situations where it's a hostage situation. There's innocent lives in peril. That's not the case in what we're seeing here. What we're seeing here is we're defying our own laws. In the state of Ohio, and I'm sure the Commonwealth of Virginia and alike, there are laws that where four or more people, for example, gather together to commit a course of disorderly conduct, that would be construed an unlawful assembly. I know here in Ohio, in our Cleveland area, I've watched this warm and fuzzy, watered-down enforcement that we've seen where people come together to protest peacefully, and that is their constitutional right, and I would stand for that in my last day. But when they start running across the streets and they're blocking the traffic and they're stopping the interstate systems, this is a crime. This is creating inconvenience and annoyance and alarm to another, let alone when you bring an act of violence. That becomes aggravated riot by our own laws. And to stand down and allow lawbreakers to do this before one's very eyes to those who have taken an oath to protect against puts those guys in a very bad position. And I feel terrible for them because that's going against the very grain that they're out there for. And they know that. But it's the politicians who are taking away that sword.
There you go, Bob, and I'm glad you worded it that way because I don't want to be perceived here as ever being negative with respect to law enforcement. My personal experience is this, and I'm not saying there's not bad guys out there, there's not bad apples out there, but Bob, I'm going to say this. I personally have never met one within the law enforcement community. Everyone I have ever dealt with within the law enforcement community have been highly professional. They have been people, just like you stated, that care deeply about their job. They want to protect both life and property. It is what they have been trained to do. And so if a stand down order was given, it is not the fault of those in law enforcement. It is the fault of those within the political framework that put political correctness above that which is right. Now, friends, when we come back, I've got one more question I want to pose to our special guest about what happened in both Durham and Charlottesville. But we're also going to ask this question. Who's responsible with preventing this kind of violence in the future? Is it the president? Is it the Attorney General of the United States? Is it law enforcement? Is it the clergy community? Who is responsible for stopping this? We're going to ask that question, answer it, this and a whole lot more on Stand in the Gap today after this very brief timeout.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap today.
Well, friends, let me welcome you back to Stand in the Gap today. This is Dave Kistler. My co-host today is Pastor Isaac Crockett. Our special guest is Pastor Bob Burgess. Again, 38 years of experience in law enforcement, a voice of wisdom, and certainly a voice of calm in a day that is fraught with all types of lawlessness. I appreciate both of your men being on the program. We're going to move into this discussion about whose responsibility is it to prevent this kind of violence in the future. Is it the President of the United States' responsibility? Is it the Attorney General's responsibility? Is it local law enforcement? Is it the pastoral community? I mean, who really is responsible for, bottom line, dealing with violence and preventing it in the future? But before we go there, Bob, I want to ask you a question. It goes back to something I said as we were concluding the last segment, and that is this. You said you've not yet seen the videos I hope at some point you will, because the people that pulled down the statue in Durham, North Carolina, did so with reckless abandon. Their faces are clearly seen. They are seen repeatedly coming and stomping on the statue there that was pulled down. Just a question I'd love to know from you. How difficult is it, if you have video with full faces of people in view, how difficult is it for law enforcement to take what they see on video, utilize that to capture people that have destroyed property like that?
That blessing of having that candid camera moment is always a wonderful thing in law enforcement, and it's a nice dessert on the tray for them, yes.
Well, let me ask this then. So it's helpful. It's very, very helpful. And I noticed you're not going to betray any of the methods, and that's okay. But let me ask this, Bob, and then Isaac can pose a couple of questions, I'm sure, that are burning in his heart. A Chinese proverb that I read yesterday says this: when people lack teachers, their immoral tendencies are not corrected. And when they do not have moral principles, their lawlessness is not controlled. And then the British philosopher and poet Gilbert Chesterton said this: the most dangerous criminal now is the entirely lawless modern professor. Compared to him, burglars are essentially moral men. Now, I found those two statements to be interesting, and I want to use them as a springboard to move into this discussion. We're living in an age, guys, where lawlessness is now almost deemed legal, and the lawful is labeled diabolical. In other words, it's an upside-down world. The Bible says it this way: woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And, of course, that is Isaiah 5, verse 20. Brother Bob, you've been in law enforcement. You are now a pastor. You've had to attempt to restrain people's actions as a law enforcement officer. And now, as a pastor, you're God's tool for restraining people's hearts. So have you, in all your years of law enforcement and pastoral experience, have you ever seen anything like what we're witnessing currently in America?
No, I haven't. What I'm seeing, I believe, again, is the symptom of the disease. I mean, the disease is godlessness, but within our government, within our political system, creeping into our world. If I can expound upon that for just a moment, I want to tell you that Brother Dave, in the state of Ohio or over in Virginia or wherever, North Carolina, if I withhold or restrain your movement and don't allow you to go, I'm going to be arrested for unlawful restraint. Are you with me there? If I do that by force or by threat of force, then I'm going to be charged with kidnapping, a very, very serious crime. If I, as a police officer or one of those officers on the street, witness a crime and they turn a blind eye to it and they're all by themselves, they do nothing, absolutely nothing about it, they're brought up on charges of dereliction in duty, they're prosecuted criminally, they're dismissed from their jobs. That's the way it has always been. But now today we see license being given by politicians to tell their law enforcement leaders to stand down in the streets, and people are being restrained of their liberty. Total interstate systems are being shut down. But in the name of a peaceful demonstration, these people are being victimized, and they're not being held accountable to the laws. The police officers are being told, do not enforce the laws on the book. This is why I say, as Romans 13, the sword is being taken away. Evil is going after that sword. If we go see, as law enforcement officers, if a law enforcement officer sees somebody attacking the local abortion clinic and throwing things through the window or setting it afire, they're going to arrest those people. They're going to use force to suppress that evil. But here, they come into your town or your city and they begin to tear your monuments down, and they are told to stand down and watch this. I believe this is something that's been a result of legislation from the bench, of making laws from the bench where judges do this, ignoring our law books. We have a way to do this in our country, but evil has overtaken that system.
That's so interesting, and I think you're really putting your finger on the heart of the issue there, Brother Bob, Pastor Bob. And, you know, I'm just wondering, as an American citizen and just with the people I interact with, I often come across people with vastly different political views than what I hold, but I don't come across people that are wanting to fight me for it or, you know, riot over it like this. And it, that the TV is full of all these pictures, and it has me wondering, is there something bigger going on? I'll borrow a word from that Dave often used. Is there something more sinister here going on with these riots, with these mob things? And I'm wondering, is there a group, you know, of people trying to maybe upset what Donald Trump is doing as president? Are they upset that somebody conservative who wants moral and common sense is in, and they're trying to maybe sabotage it? Or, and maybe this is even, as you pointed out, the new generation with the maybe. I know that in my generation, in the 80s and 90s, a lot of us have been educated about supposed fairness and things, and we're kind of taught some of these things. And I'm just wondering if this is all reaching up to this boiling point where people are being used like lemmings, like pawn in this chess game to try to overthrow what the people of America voted for.
I do believe that, but I believe that it's an issue of, and here comes the spiritual hat, I believe mm-hmm. that there's a God and there's a Satan. And I believe that this is Satan's plan. These are his evil devices. These are his emissaries. Do they necessarily know what they're doing or know what the agenda is or the reason or the cause? No, I don't believe that they all necessarily know that. I believe they're led in ignorance, and they're following something. We talk about our responsibilities in the pulpit to teach. We've watched the church age go away from teaching the Word of God the way the Bible gives it to us. And we've seen mankind lend his wisdom, which is dung by comparison. And that's one of the weaknesses that we have in the church age also, is that men are not getting in the pulpit and preaching the truth of God's word. Children are not hearing it. They're not being raised with the truth. They don't understand, and they lead in ignorance, and they become great emissaries of Satan in these things.
Bob, you brought up a great point when you cited, you know, the pulpits and the pastors and the responsibility thereof. I want to drill down on that a little bit. We're talking about trying to prevent these kind of things from happening in the future. I will say unequivocally, I had a father who never tolerated from me or my twin brother anything remotely close to a lawless spirit, even a spirit mm-hmm. of disrespect toward authority. Isaac, I dare say you were reared the same way, because I know something of your family. And I say this jokingly, but almost somewhat seriously, I would probably be missing a few permanent teeth if I acted in any way remotely close to the way some of these people are acting today with a lawless spirit. And of course, my dad was not a violent man. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying there. But the fact of the matter is this, that was just not tolerated in our home. So Pastor Bob, talk about this for just a minute. What is the responsibility of the pulpit? What's the responsibility of parents with respect to teaching their children respect for other people's property, respect for the law itself?
Well, from the pulpit, obviously, we have to believe the word of God. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, and understand that these officers have been ordained of God to protect us from evil. That's the whole purpose God put them there. They weren't there to do the deeds of the politicians. They were there to protect us and thereby enforce the laws that are on the books. We see how that's being diffused and watered down. We have to be able to teach our children that there is an owner's manual for us. God created us. He didn't leave us without it. And God tells us in his word that you must needs be subject to these things, and not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. This is something that we're supposed to be mindful of, but it's a lost art.
You know, Isaac, let me go to you and just ask you a question. You were brought up, obviously, in a pastor's home. You know what it was to be taught from the Word of God that Brother Bob just referenced as a young man, respect for authority. I would love for you, because you're of a generation behind me, you're of one of the, you know, the younger generation, but you were brought up the right way. So you have a healthy respect for authority, something that's grossly missing in our culture. Speak to that just a little bit, if you would.
Yes, thank you. You know, and I remember at our church, we had quite a few men in law enforcement, and I have always respected them. I have good friends, even relatives who are in law enforcement, and there's a great respect for them. And the Bible says so much about that, about having that respect. And yet, as we've gotten further away, and this was pretty evident in the radio program yesterday, with you all brought this out, but the further we get away from God, the more we get into lawlessness. And it just, it's unfortunately, we're seeing what the Bible predicts is going to happen, that that they're calling good evil and they're calling evil good. And it seems to be that all we hear in the media nowadays is exactly what the Bible was predicting, which is so frightening and so necessary for us as parents and as pastors and all Christians to live our lives the right way, to teach our children, to train those around us, as pastors especially to teach those in our churches. And unfortunately, too many pastors are afraid about being politically incorrect.
$100 a month in your budget, $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teacher's editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, again, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler. I'm joined today by Pastor Isaac Crockett and Pastor Bob Burgess, and we're talking about this theme, toppling a monument, but attempting to topple history. And as you may know, last evening in the city of Baltimore, Maryland, two Confederate statues were removed under cover of darkness. One of them was a statue of General Robert E. Lee. The other was a statue of General Stonewall Jackson. Both of those have been there for literally decades. They were removed in about 40 minutes, according to one gentleman who happened to be there walking his dog in the early morning hours. And his comment was this. I found it to be somewhat amusing and at the same time somewhat tragic. He said, don't tell me that the city of Baltimore cannot do things expeditiously and quickly because they got both monuments moved in about 40 minutes. He said it was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen done. So when political correctness reigns, government and the wheels of government can move very, very quickly. Gentlemen, I'm perplexed. I'm troubled. I think what's happening here with the attempt to remove all of these Confederate monuments across the United States of America, I think we're headed a direction that is going to end up being more than just moving a monument. It's going to be an attempt to remove from the American psyche the truth of our history. Now, here, guys, is the bottom line. Robert E. Lee was not a perfect man. Stonewall Jackson was not a perfect man. I could go on and on and on, but these guys were. This is something our listening audience does not probably know much about. These men were both committed Christians, as was General Jeb Stuart, who was also a Confederate general. And these guys loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart. Robert E. Lee was a man of impeccable integrity. He was not a racist, nor was Stonewall Jackson, nor was Jeb Stuart. That is not what these men were. And yet, the attempt to topple these monuments, remove them, is a statement basically saying these men were racists and they were not. I am not a racist. Bob, I know you're not. Isaac, I know you're definitely not a racist. None of us are. We love all people. Skin color is irrelevant. But to remove a portion of our history because of political correctness, I believe, is a path down which we do not want to go because there's no end to it. Someone asked yesterday, in fact, it may have been the President of the United States, are we going to remove the Jefferson Memorial from off the National Mall in Washington, D.C., because Jefferson had some slaves? Is that where we're headed? Are we going to remove any mention of Martin Luther King because Martin Luther King would have been against the LGBT lifestyle? I mean, is this where we're going? Are we just going to remove every part of our history with which we disagree because those elements of our history don't fit the politically correct narrative? This is a dangerous place to go, and my personal opinion is it needs to stop. Guys, I want to ask you this. Yesterday at a press conference at Trump Tower, President Trump sort of turned the tables on the media by asking them this question. He said, what about the alt-left that were present at the rally in Charlottesville? Do they bear any semblance of guilt? Was his question. Bob, I want to pose that question to you. Obviously, if you're a white nationalist, if you're a racist, and you've gathered, as you well said, they have the constitutional freedom to peaceably assemble. As long as that is not interrupting other people's freedoms and it's a peaceful gathering, they have the First Amendment right. No matter how much we may disagree with their position, they have the right to assemble. But when they start moving into the violent area, that is wrong. But it is also wrong for those on the left. When they start throwing bottles, Coke bottles filled with urine or Coke bottles filled with concrete at the alt-right group, that's wrong as well. So Bob, talk about that. Was the president correct when he said the problem is on both sides, not just one side?
Well, I believe that our president was discussing the act. I don't think he was taking a side. He was discussing an act, an event, an unlawful event at that. And when I would like to share this. My wife and I were blessed to take our grandchildren about a month ago to Gettysburg. And I could only picture, my wife and I were talking about this. And as we looked at the statues, beautiful statues, history of the North and the South coming together and in that those battles for those causes of history, whether we agree or disagree. Had I been standing there and a group come up to throw a rope around one of those to pull it down, as a grandfather, as a pastor, as a retired police chief, my wife right away said she would have had to drug me away. She says, I assure you that I would have intervened in that wrongdoing. So I do not disagree with what the president said. I believe we have a constitutional right for a peaceful protest, no matter which side you're on. But when that violent act takes place, it needs to be dealt with accordingly. Otherwise, it's going to spread like a contagion in this nation, as it is
now. Bob, let me ask you one final question before I have Isaac pray to close out the program. It's interesting to me the terminology that is used, and words do mean things. And the whole Charlottesville scenario has been described this way. You've got on one side the alt-right, you've got white nationalists, you've got racist, and on the other side, you have, and this is the term that the media has chosen to use, you have counter-protesters. To my knowledge, Bob, there has not been one time that those quote-unquote counter-protesters have been called what they really are. They're part of the Black Lives Matter group. They're part of very radical left-wing groups that are bent on the overthrow of the country, and yet they're not called that. The Antifa group or the anti-fascist group is part of that, and boy, there are terror connections to that group that are beyond what we have time to talk about. So very quickly, in 15 seconds, talk about the terminology. What's going on there?
Well, I believe it's a spin doctor terminology. I believe it's something that you can line up in a safety zone on either side, wherever you want to stand with that counter protest. And I also believe that that's a part of Satan's language is we water down things. We make things seem better than they are. We stopped calling homosexuals homosexuals. We now call them gay.
Bob, quickly, I know we're running out of time. I want you to mention you have a ministry to law enforcement, and I'd love for you to give that very quickly. And then, Isaac, I'm going to go straight to you after Bob shares that and ask you to close us in prayer.
Thank you, Dave. We, yes, I'm blessed to be able to minister to law enforcement across the nation through John and Roman's publications. We go to the National Law Enforcement Memorial on an annual basis, local and national, and we also go to minister to the officers' funerals who've been killed in the line of duty. I minister to the officers who are working, trying to protect their communities and give them spiritual support and prayer to understand them. I would ask for all to do that. They're in a very difficult position, not only the risk of their lives, but the stressors and these kind of things that go contrary to their training and experience that they're being told to stand down on.
Isaac, lead us in prayer, my friend.
Almighty Father, we thank you as our Heavenly Father for all the good gifts that you give us. And we pray today for your grace and for your patience. We pray especially for our law enforcement officers across the lands as they seek to enforce the law and live up to the Constitution that we've been given. And I pray for all Christians, especially for pastors, that we would be willing to stand in the gap, to take a stand for Jesus Christ, to live out the truth and to be the light of the world, to walk as children of light and able to redeem the time today and throughout this week if we have it. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, friends, you've been listening to Stand in the Gap today. This is Dave Kistler. My special guests have been Isaac Crockett. He will be on again with us tomorrow. Our very special guest, Pastor Bob Burgess, pastor of New Testament Baptist Ravenna, Ohio, but also 38 years of law enforcement experience. And Bob, I want to thank you for being aboard. Isaac, thank you for being aboard. And friends, I want to encourage you to come back tomorrow. We're going to be talking about more of this from a little bit of a different perspective, as well as having our special guest, George Barna, who's always a delight. 23 hours from now, Stand in the Gap today.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.